الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأان أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة النور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع النفس فمعتقها أو موبقها أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, this is a very famous, very important hadith sharif of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has included in his Al-Arba'in, as well as Imam Muslim in his Sahih. In fact, Imam Muslim has started his chapter on Tahara, on cleanliness, with this very hadith, and you will see inshallah why he has chosen to do that. What this hadith sharif really is in essence is several ahadiths in one. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions a few words, sometimes just two or three words on a certain topic, and then he moves on to the next topic. In this hadith he will talk about salah, he will talk about cleanliness, he will talk about sadaqah, he will talk about many, he will talk about the Quran, all in one hadith. And the advice he gives is very small, is very short, yet very comprehensive. The hadith starts by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "At-tuhuru shatrul iman," which I'm sure that you are familiar with. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that cleanliness, hygiene, purity is half of iman. The word used in this hadith is shatrul iman. Now the word shatr, most commentators believe that it means half. Some commentators say that if it doesn't mean half, then shatr can also mean part. So there's two ways of translating this hadith. Either it means that tahara, cleanliness, is half of your faith, or tahara is part of your faith. Either way, what this hadith sharif shows is the importance of cleanliness in Islam. And this is something that perhaps we do not realize every so often, every day. But Islam is the first religion, and perhaps still the only religion, which declares cleanliness and hygiene to actually be part of your religion. And perhaps we don't think about this very often, but no other religion gives as much emphasis to tahara as much as Islam does. And you think about the ibadats that we do, the worship that we perform, most of the worship that we perform cannot be done without a basic form of tahara, usually wuzu. We cannot perform salah without wuzu. We cannot read the Quran without, or touch the Quran without wuzu. We know that it is bad manners to sit in a mosque without wuzu. To do the tawaf, it's wajib to have a wuzu. Not only that, but think about the other sayings of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The extent that he went to try to encourage Muslims to remain clean and hygienic. That the Prophet, you will know, told Muslims that every Friday it is highly stressed that you have a bath. Tell me which other religion actually tells you that you must have a bath every week. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you have a bath on Friday, then apply your hair to your oil, put some itar on, put some perfume on. These are basic teachings of hygiene and cleanliness that our Prophet is giving us. The Prophet told us that make sure you cut your nails regularly. The Prophet told us that make sure you get rid of unwanted hair on your bodies. And just think for yourselves, how many other religious sources actually tell us this kind of information? And it's only Islam, and that's really, this is only three words, this actual hadith, but the importance of it and the uniqueness of it is perhaps is so comprehensive. No other religion talks about hygiene the way that Islam does. And once there's a famous case when a Jew came to a companion in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Jew was joking with the Muslim. He wanted to mock the religion of Islam, and he said to the Muslim, this Jew, he said that, "I hear that your religion has taught you everything. It's taught you every single aspect of your deen and every aspect of your life." And the Jew joked and mocked the Muslim. He said that, "I heard that your religion has even told you how to clean yourself once you have come from the toilet." The Jew was trying to make a joke out of it. And the Muslim, the companion of the Prophet, he was very firm with this, and he said, "Yes, what's wrong with that? We are proud of this fact, that Islam has told us the basic hygiene, even when we go to the toilet, how to clean ourselves." And this Muslim, this companion, he went on to explain to the Jew how to clean yourself once you have come from the toilet. So this is something, in short, that hygiene, cleanliness is our prerogative. This is something that Muslims do. This is something which was the practice of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, you have heard perhaps that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge each and every person, and the method by which he will judge every person will be what's called a mizan, this idea of the scales. And what will happen is that this scale, it will come to represent the good and bad deeds of a person on the day of judgment. And quite simply, if a person has done more good deeds than bad deeds, then the good side will be heavier and he will be granted a place into Jannah. This is haqiqat, and means it will definitely happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq," that the wazan, the scale on the day of judgment is the truth. It will happen. So Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages that try to do as many amal as possible so the good side is heavier, and that will work in your favor and you will be granted a place in Jannah. Now in this hadith sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given glad tidings to our Prophet that do not think that you have to perform massive amal to make the good side heavier for you on the day of judgment. Performing hajj every year, or giving sadqa in large amounts, or other big amals, yes, they will increase your weight on that scale on the day of judgment. But here what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is, simply by saying alhamdulillah, that will fill the mizan on the day of judgment. The Prophet said, walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. That if you say, if you do zikr, the simple zikr, and you say alhamdulillah, do not think that this is just a small kalima consisting of two words. How will that be of any benefit to me? What here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is that this will tamla'ul mizan. Tamla'u means to fill the mizan on the day of judgment. So even the smaller words that we say, the smaller zikrs that we perform at the salah, before salah, during the day, this will be very helpful for us in ensuring that our scales on the day of judgment are heavier with good amal. And the Prophet goes on to say, وَسُبْحَانَ وَالْحَمْدُ تَمْلَأُ وَتَمْلَأَانِ, two words talked about in this hadith, مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that saying Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, this is enough to fill whatever is between the skies and earth in terms of good amal. Simple words. And this is reflected in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, kalimatani habibatani ila rahman. There are two words which are most beloved to the Rahman, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sakilatani ala al-mizan khafifatani ala al-lisan. They are heavy upon the mizan, but they are light on the tongue. Meaning that they will be very heavy for you on the day of judgment for your good a'mal, but they're very light to say. Then the Prophet went on to say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-azim. These are the words, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-azim. That read this as much as possible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these words. They will be very heavy for you on the day of judgment, yet they are very light to say on the tongue. Moving on, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one simple fact about salah in this hadith sharif. He said, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ, that salah is nur, salah is light. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, in a sharah of Sahih Muslim, he says that this could have several meanings. it could mean that a person who performs Salah on the Day of Judgment, by virtue of reading Salah, he would be given Noor on that day. Or it could mean that when a person performs Salah, then he stays away from bad actions and that creates Noor within him. But you and I have seen for yourself that those people that we see every so often, those people we say that they have a Noorani Chehra, that they have a enlightened face, most of the time when we see people like that, it is because they are performing Salah. That Salah is that force within them that gives them Noor in their face. So this hadith can be taken literally as well, that Salah is Noor because it gives a person light in his face. وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ. And sadaqah, to give donations, is a burhan. A burhan means a piece of evidence. What that means is that on the Day of Judgment, the sadaqah that you give will be evidence that you are not a hypocrite, that you are not a fasiq, that rather you are a dedicated believer. Because zakah and other types of donations, perhaps they are farz, they are compulsory. But sadaqah is only given by those people who are dedicated in their religion, who are sincere in their faith. وَالصَّبْرُ دِيَاءٌ. And the Prophet then in this same hadith described sabr, patience, as a light, دِيَاءٌ. Then the Prophet went on to say, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكْ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. That the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. Hujjah means an evidence. And what this is saying, that on the Day of Judgment, either the Qur'an will support you in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will go against you. And it is quite clear, it is common sense, that a person who performs whatever had been mentioned in the Quran, who recites the Quran day and night, then the Quran will be a proof for him on the Day of Judgment. But those people who are neglectful in reciting the Quran, its teachings, then the Quran will actually be a burden for him on the Day of Judgment. The Quran will actually say that this person actually neglected me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So clearly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking us to recite the Quran as much as possible and to understand it and to act upon its teachings. Finally, the Prophet finishes the hadith with almost a thought-provoking sentence. He says, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو. That everyone gets up in the morning. غَدَى يَبْدُو means to get up early in the morning. كُلُّ النَّاسِ. All people, they get up in the morning. What do they do? فَبَائِعٌ نَفْسَ. And whatever they do in the day then, in reality what they are doing is they are putting their soul for sale. They are presenting their souls in front of them during that day. فَمُعْتِكُهَا أَوْ مُوبِكُهَا. Whatever they do in the day, whether it is good or whether it is bad, in essence, will actually free the soul or it will punish the soul. It will free it or it will completely destroy it. مُوبِكُهَا. Meaning that every day, in essence, what you and I are doing is that our soul is on the line until evening. That whatever we do during that period is in essence either freeing our soul from the fire of hell or we are destroying it. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perhaps is requesting us and asking us to take every day as it comes and to think for yourself from beginning to end of that day, that have I destroyed my soul today or have I saved it? That each evening review what you have done and ask yourself that this soul, this possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not our possession. Remember, the soul is something which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wants it back on the Day of Judgment. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Return to your Lord. Meaning it came from there in the first place. You can only return once you were there in the first place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his possession back on the Day of Judgment. But each and every day the Prophet is saying that we are selling our soul. We are putting our soul on the line. And Allah wants us to know whether whatever we do in that day is saving our soul or actually punishing it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon this beautiful hadith. And may Allah give us the ability to save our soul every day until the Day of Judgment rather than to punish it. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubeen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أعنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.